Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
You have found it, ladies and gentlemen, the front lines in the information war. We are attempting to mobilize free humanity worldwide to become conscious of the fact that there is a group of unelected private banking cartels that have taken over every major nation on Earth and are attempting to basically set up a police state control grid so that no one can challenge their hegemonic control and domination. Now, the news is all completely and totally off the charts today, and we're going to be breaking it all down in great detail. We do have a former governor of New Mexico, Gary Johnson, who announced yesterday that he's running for president as a Republican. He's going to be popping in coming up later in the third hour, riding shotgun with Bob Chapman. In the meantime, we're going to be covering all of the vital news and information today. Now, I meant to tell Steve Watson, Paul Watson, Aaron Dykes, or Kurt Nemo, my main four in-house writers, to do a report on this on Monday, then on Tuesday, then on Wednesday, Thursday, and I just didn't get around to telling them to do it because I've been so busy. But I did point this out in the last 4 days on air. I know a lot of you will not go check out my claims. You will just simply either discount it or believe it, and then you shouldn't do that. It's major breaking news now because people are paying attention to it. And that is the fact that every cell phone sold in the United States, and that goes for most cell phones sold worldwide because they're globally standardized. The manufacturers don't like to make multiple versions. So these systems are being used universally, basically. Under the Telecommunications Act of 1996, that became law in October 1st, 2001. I'm going to go over this in more detail today. All cell phones for the last 10 years, and a lot of them already had it in before that, track where you are, where you're going, and then when they're smartphones and you plug into your PC or Mac, it downloads the info and sends it to Apple, Google, and others who then sell it to the government. Now, by law, they've got to give it to the government. Oh, this is all public. By law, they've got to give it to the government. But also by law, they are paid for it because you know, it can't be indentured servitude. And here it is. Again, the Wall Street Journal still hasn't scooped this. There's still time for other alternative blogs out there to scoop them with my research. There's still time for my office to do this. But here it is, Wall Street Journal. Told you this 3 days ago, told you this yesterday. Apple, I said Google specifically is the worst. See, everybody's talking about Apple because researchers found it in Apple, and they're wondering, you know, what it does. Apple, Google collect user data. And these guys will probably win the Pulitzer Prize for this. Oh, and I forgot to tell you guys to print it. Print me Congress launches investigation of cell phones tracking location. Congress launches an investigation. Congress actually passed this as law in 96. That's like Hitler sitting as the head judge at the Nuremberg trials, or that'd be like John Gotti sitting in a mafia corruption racketeering probe as the district attorney. And it's like this on every front. I mean, you think I just get up here and tell you all cell phones by law track everything you do and send the data back to the government, location, phone list, emails, where you surfing history, everything, okay? And yes, it's all illegal, but it's legal. Oh, it violates the Bill of Rights, Constitution, Declaration of Independence, every canon of free society. But Congress did pass a law. But it's a regulation that the companies have to do this. If that doesn't trump the other laws. We'll be right back.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
I'm not a liberal. I'm not a conservative. I'm not a libertarian. I'm a constitutionalist that believes in right and wrong. I believe in the family. I believe in the right to self-defense and the Second Amendment. I believe and I will defend property rights. That's who I am. I am known for my deeds and what I report and my accuracy. I'm Alex Jones, and I appreciate you joining us today. We are normally gaining 3 new affiliates a week in the last year. We've gained more than 10 in the last week. This radio broadcast is in turbo overdrive, and I need to really brace myself and realize that I'm so comfortable doing this show for now more than 16 years that I need to remember sometimes just how many people are listening and how important this information is. Because quite frankly, I can get up and give a speech to 2,000 people live on C-SPAN, 2,000 in the crowd live on C-SPAN, and not even get butterflies. And so I'm trying to force myself to get butterflies, because when I do actually have a little bit of anxiety and realize that I'm reaching millions and millions of people right now, it will cause me to focus and really cover more news and more information and not be intellectually lazy. Because I tend to simplify things sometimes. I tend to jump from story to story because there is so much news, when I could really give people the full gravitas of what we're facing. It's still a very informative, powerful broadcast. I'm just saying I want to kick it up a notch, because I do realize that we're getting a lot of huge stations. I'm talking number one talk stations, and I've got Genesis, the network up in Minnesota, sending me another big list so I can thank the 20 or so stations that have come on in the last month. But 10 or more this week, just amazing. Big stations not just carrying us on the weekends, but carrying us weekdays live or rebroadcasting us at night. It's just absolutely amazing. You know, we've got some affiliates that have been carrying us for 14 or more years, mom and pop, small stations, medium-sized stations, precious stations, reaching a lot of people. And, of course, number one on the Internet, according to Shoutcast, Alexa, and many other metrics. When it comes to Internet listeners, close to 500,000 a day download the free podcast at Infowars.com. Close to 500,000 or more, depending on the day, tune in to the live streams. But when you got XM, we're on Global Shortwave out of Tennessee, WWCR, 100,000 watts going out worldwide. But it's just, I need to reset here occasionally and really be honest with myself. I'm a very private guy. I don't like the limelight. I don't like to go out and be given awards or be at events. I'm a family guy. I'd rather just be at home and play with an electric train on the floor with my children, or go camping or hunting or fishing. But I more and more have to realize the fact that we really are the tip of the spear and having a giant effect against the globalists. Now, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 stacks of news here. Some days I've only got 6 or 7. Some days I've got 20 stacks. But I've got 12 stacks here in front of me, and each one of these stacks is enough to totally prove how criminal and illegitimate the globalists are and what they're setting up worldwide. And the doublespeak and the deception, and how both political parties in this country and other major nations in the parliamentary system, 3 or 4 top parties, are totally bought and paid for with a globalist, anti-freedom, anti-liberty, anti-family, domestication agenda. And let me just read to you some of the headlines. Senator Al Franken questions Apple over iPhone tracking. Congress opens investigation. I told you 16 years ago, or I guess 15 years ago, 2001 is when it became law, but they put the regulations in and it had to be in place by October 1st, 2001, that all cell phones manufactured and sold in the U.S., and this was adopted in other Western nations as well, the government can dial in, turn them on, listen to you, even when the phone looks like it's off. They can track your location via triangulation and GPS with the cell towers, and they can download wirelessly or when you plug into your computer to sync them. But this goes for regular cell phones as well. All of your data, the back door's built in. And I told you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday that, folks, it's not just Apple. Apple are globalist, Al Gore on the board, very New World Order. I happen to like their products, hate their leadership. So I'm not defending Apple. I said, look, it's all of them. Well, here's the Wall Street Journal with big breaking news today. Apple and Google collect user data. And you'll see by next week, they'll say all major smartphones are tracked. And then you'll see footnotes later as the lazy, dumbed-down, mainstream, Kool-Aid-drinking media finds out it's everything. Listen, Senator Franken, Mr. George Soros, minion, Huffington Post, lapdog, Mr. Anti-gun, anti-family, I know you're dumber than a box of rocks, so let me just tell you now. Maybe people should call Senator Franken's office and go, hey, bub, 1996. The House and Senate passed the Telecommunications Act of 1996, and I've been screaming bloody murder. I remember in 96 I was covering this. The program director called me into his office, and this guy 2 years before had been in a bee suit at a local rock station and was the clown, knew nothing, and told me, I don't believe the government can dial in and listen to cell phones secretly, and you're lying on air. And I said, okay, I'll bring in the Telecommunications Act. And when I brought it to him, he wouldn't even read it and started threatening me. This is what I have to put up with. 1996. It was in the trade publications. I had telecommunications people calling me, telling me about it, emailing it to me. My listeners told me about it. It was real. And it wasn't until 2005 or so that we'd see newscast, Big Brother, eat your heart out, Shepard Smith. I have a video clip of him saying it, actually, in Police State 3, Total Enslavement. Guess what? The government's got, by law, Telecommunications Act. They can dial in and turn your phone on and listen to you. Big Brother. No, he actually said, Big Brother's here to help. Civil libertarians, eat your heart out. That's the exact quote. I mean, But I understand why that program director thought I was lying 15 years ago, because I was freaking out on air about it. It was hard to believe back then that the government, by law, was having all the cell phone manufacturers put these systems in them. And see, that's my frustration. If I get up here on air and I tell you that in every major city that is putting fluoridated water in their water supply, that the main source of the fluoride is mined out of phosphate mines, and they can't use the toxic derivatives of it in the fertilizer. It'll kill the plants. So they take the hundreds of different chemicals. It varies per mine, per basically rock quarries, what they are. You ever seen a concrete factory? It's basically the same type of stuff they mine it out of. And that's where you've got all the radioactive isotopes. That's where you actually generally would mine uranium as well to then purify it and enrich it. And that they're putting scores of radioactive isotopes in your drinking water added with the fluoride, along with lead, arsenic, mercury. And I've been saying this for years, having medical doctors and top EPA toxicologists on, who themselves are testifying before Congress. It's no secret. And then it comes out in Texas that for two decades, they're covering up the radioactive isotopes in the water that are 10 to 100 times, depending on which area they studied, safe levels. And the news is like, oh, why is the state covering it up with the feds? By the way, it's in every other state where they add this stuff. But we had whistleblowers in Texas 4 months ago. CBS News, AP, but only in Texas. And then there was no discussion of why is it there? How did it get in all the drinking water? It was just, why did the state cover it up under federal orders? And if you're a new listener and don't believe me, you will learn listening to this show. If you just take what I say, 99% of the time, I will state the data in the exact headline or one of the exact headlines that are out there. So when I tell you state of Texas covered up radioactive pollution in Texas water, you search that, you'll get hundreds of articles. And then the rabbit hole goes down from there. If I tell you that Google 6 years ago put out a press release saying they're listening to you over your computer built-in microphone, internal microphone, saying they're watching you over the camera with an AI computer, how do I know? Google would sue me if it wasn't true. They put a stinking press release out. We wrote an article at prisonplanet.com. You will learn that it's not Alex Jones that is radical. It's not Alex Jones that is wild. It's not Alex Jones who is a kook. This stuff sounds kooky. It's the global elite. Back in October and November, we had the listener calls pouring in and saw the YouTube videos, and it happened to one of my employees, and that's when I went public. I wasn't even sure in August and September and October. But then when it happened to Michelle and her daughters in Denver flying back to Austin from skiing, then I knew it was true. And I went out and wrote articles, and Drudge has listened to us long enough to know we don't make stuff up. So Drudge put our articles out, and there were mainstream articles, and the TSA came out and said, it's not true. We don't stick hands down pants. And then all the videos got released. And then they said, we do stick our hands down your pants. I don't make anything up, okay? Get that through your heads if you're new listeners. The truth is tyranny is wild. The truth is stranger than fiction. Reality, history is a lot crazier than fiction. And we're in a lot of trouble. Now, here's the good news. Here's the good news. I monitor talk radio, liberal, conservative, libertarian. I monitor TV. I have XM in the house and XM in the car. I don't really watch TV. But when I'm doing stuff, I have it on and I just flip around. Like everybody else, and I monitor. There is a zeitgeist that's been hit. Whoa, I'm getting chills right now. This is so exciting. Ooh, I can smell and taste victory right now. Boy. The New World Order, the private Federal Reserve that has engineered this system, they are weak. They are bleeding out. We can beat them. We can beat these people. I am hearing it across the board. The public is finally getting it. I'm going to tell you about the good news. On the other side, they get into all the other news.
Way up.
We have Jim Tucker, who's been reporting on Bilderberg Group for 35 years. He's got big inside Bilderberg Group news. Bilderberg Group insider told him, and that's the headline, Bilderberg Group insider, Kissinger pushes for U.S. ground invasion of Libya at private globalist meetings. We've got incredible news on the plunging dollar and what's happening with gold and silver. We've got reports here that 911 responders to be warned they will be screened by FBI's terrorism watch list. You see, remember 2 years ago when we got the internal MIAC and Homeland Security reports? Oh, yes, this show broke down. If you're a new listener, pull it up and look it up. And the number one threat, they said, is retiring military, gun owners, veterans, libertarians, people that want to audit the Federal Reserve. That's 85% of Americans now in a Gallup poll. We're the terrorist. Homeland Security is for us. Meanwhile, admitted Al-Qaeda is the core of the rebels in Libya, backed by the Pentagon. And Amar al-Awlaki, Fox News reports, number two in Al-Qaeda, meeting secretly at the Pentagon and then running the underwear bomber, the Fort Hood shooter, the shoe bomber, the Times Square bomber. Should I go on? Oh, you're a new listener? Just search Anwar al-Awlaki dined at Pentagon with the Secretary of the Army secretly while he was on the news as one of the most wanted. Oh, double agent, anyone? Continuing here, why would the government or criminal elements do that? Create these groups, finance and protect them as a pretext to take our liberties and our freedom. And then we get the internal law enforcement documents sent to me by state police, federal marshals, and others. And it's all about the American people. Homeland Security watching Ron Paul. Oh, yes, a very dangerous 75-year-old doctor. Oh, he's so evil. His record is public. I think he's had one speeding ticket in the 60s. Yeah. Watch that Campaign for Liberty, boy. They are bad news. Watch that Alex Jones. It's in law enforcement training. We've gotten the documents repeatedly, published them, where they go in and tell military and police, now don't listen to Alex Jones. If you do, it's really dangerous. He's a slick talker. There's a kernel of truth. Oh, there's a kernel? How about there's a big boulder, a ton of bricks falling on your lies? Like Wile E. Coyote. when a big rock falls on him. Okay, so that's coming up. You know, I'm going to talk more about this in the next hour after Jim Tucker leaves us, the elder state omnibudsman and statesman of the Liberty Movement of American Free Press. He'll be joining us coming up to talk about this big breaking bombshell news that said American Free Press at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. But before I go there, I want to just give you a little prelude or a preview of something I want to talk about in the next hour or some. I monitor talk radio. I monitor Fox, CNN, all of them, while I'm surfing the web and doing research or cooking dinner or whatever the case is, or running around with, playing in the sprinkler in the front yard with my kids. But that part doesn't matter. The point is I listen to stuff constantly. People say, I get emails, the reason I describe it, I listen to TV over XM. I go, you're listening to TV in the front yard? Liar. Everybody just, because I'm so accurate and so devastating to the globalists, they just try to pick things. But side issue. And I know you're seeing this too. I know if you're monitoring it, you're seeing it. Suddenly, what's happened is the nouveau riche, the new wealth, the millionaires, even some of the independent billionaires, have figured out that they're not going to have a place at the table at the New World Order. This global corporate structure that's being set up where they use government power to shut down all their competition. And so the mid-level elites are figuring out that they were sold on globalism, told it was going to be great, and now they're finding out it's an oppressive tyranny where everyone owes everything to the private Federal Reserve and its counterpart, the IMF, World Bank, new global government that's been established. And now the global government's being announced. And people understand how corrupt it is and that it only serves the tiny elite that are waging war against the new wealth and the middle class and the working class. And now I'm not just hearing Glenn Beck, and I did listen to part of his TV show last night, and I kind of have a love-hate relationship, but it was beautiful what he was saying. Going over It's a Wonderful Life and how the banker bankrupts the town and then buys everything for pennies on the dollar, and how Bernanke is the bad guy, and how the Federal Reserve wants to collectivize things and bankrupt our economy. It's all true. It's all in IMF World Bank white papers that got leaked, 2002. And then I'm listening to every other conservative station and even liberals, and they're all basically saying the same thing now. The globalists are in trouble. They may have gotten Glenn Beck fired. They may be trying to demonize us in the media. The cat's out of the bag. Genie's out of the bottle. That horse already left the barn. The train already left the station. I mean, there is a huge awakening, and to say that puts it lightly. Stay with us.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Okay, we're going to Jim Tucker because he's got big breaking news. But first, if you're a new listener, I want to tell you who James P. Tucker is. He's an American journalist who, since 1975, has focused on exposing the controversial Bilderberg Group. He is the author of Jim Tucker's Bilderberg Diary and has appeared in several films, namely my film Endgame, and, of course, the Obama deception. Tucker is recognized as a veteran observer and the granddaddy of Bilderberg hunters. For decades, they did not even existed. Since 1975, he has been covering it in great detail. He wrote for syndicated journals all over the United States in news and sports and was read in hundreds of papers. After working for various papers, Tucker started writing for the conservative newspaper The Spotlight in the early 70s. Now he writes for AmericanFreePress.net, and even Wikipedia, who I don't always trust, but I know this is true, and they have links to his original articles to prove it, goes through the fact that Tucker was able to write an advanced story on the downfall of Margaret Thatcher a year before, and later about the rise of Bill Clinton when he attended Bilderberg meeting a year before he even ran in Germany as governor of Arkansas. He was also able to predict that Bush would endorse global warming before he did. Everybody laughed at that. He was able to say that oil prices would go from $60 a gallon to $150 from Bilderberg sources. And he's very intelligent, but his hearing isn't too good. And he was unable to hear us just now. We had him on, and our audio's low, so he just basically disconnected. We're getting him on right now. Okay, he is with us now. The point is, Jim Tucker is amazing, and he's got new breaking information at AmericanFreePress.net. I want Drudge to get this because he normally covers the Bilderberg news. Headline, Bilderberg Insider, Kissinger pushes for U.S. ground invasion of Libya, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, and Jim Tucker joins us. He also discovered, and he's the guy that always does, that it's going to be in Switzerland this year. He normally finds out a week or two before. He found out months before this year. He has actual Bilderberg sources. I'll just leave it at that. This is the group that is the tip-top of the New World Order system. This is the Mafia Roundtable. Jim Tucker, good to have you here with us.
It's always a pleasure.
Well, sir, you've done it again. You don't like to toot your own horn, but there are dozens of these on record in print. Tell us about...
Well, I'm... have a modest, unassuming disposition.
But it's important to briefly, because we have so many new stations. Jim, we have so many new stations and listeners. Tell folks in a nutshell what Bilderberg is, how you discovered it, what their agenda. Yes, Jim, can you hear me?
Hello.
Yes, Jim, can you hear me? He's having some type of phone issue, and this happens occasionally with Jim. Jim, can you hear me? Okay. Again, folks, this is huge breaking news, and we're having some issues. I've called into my own show before when I'm on the road, and I have a fill-in guest, and there's good audio. And we got him on short notice today. Okay, we're going to go back to Jim here in a moment. This is breaking inside information. Okay, Jim, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Break down what Bilderberg Group is and this latest bombshell info you've got dealing with Kissinger pushing for the ground invasion.
Yes, for the newcomers, we'll explain that Bilderberg is a group of approximately 120 international financiers, political leaders, heads of state from Europe, high officials of the U.S. government. The President of the United States, unlike other heads of state, cannot attend while in office because the White House reporters count for every minute of his day, even on vacation. When is he bicycling and when not and all that jazz. But the Secretary of State attends, Secretary of Commerce, Secretary of Treasury, and other leaders, high officials of the administration, all attend and get their marching orders from these 120 international financiers and political leaders who violate the Logan Act by going, the Americans violate the Logan Act by going behind closed doors to secretly plan U.S. policy. And their plans for us are not very good. The bad news is they want to get the United States involved in a land war in Libya so it can inflame the entire Middle East, so they can rationalize invading Iran on Israel's behalf on the theory that Iran has nuclear weapons. And Iran belongs to this international group of who oppose nuclear proliferation. Iran allows inspectors, international inspectors, to come in and examine its sites. Israel's had nuclear weapons since at least 1962. They do not belong to the group and refuses inspections. So that sums up the war end of it. And there's still some more bad news. They are eager, the trilaterals, their junior partners, and Bilderberg, eager for Americans to have to pay $7. $7 a gallon for gasoline. And, of course, they're still pushing hard for the World Treasury Department on the theory that if they can prolong the American recession, it's still a recession despite the lies by the administration saying it's over. Through the year, all through the year, 2012, Americans become so hungry and desperate they would embrace a World Department of Treasury. Well, that's their goals. Now, the good news is they're failing on all fronts. American patriots have become more aware through outlets such as American Free Press and you and the independent newspapers, not the Washington Post, New York Times, LA Times. They're represented at these meetings and make their solemn promise to report nothing, to not use the word Bilderberg, to advocate the Bilderberg program, but without identifying Bilderberg as their dictator, which makes them journalistic whores, obviously. So the good news, and you've seen it, Alex, when you've been to these meetings in Chantilly and in Canada, where the independent daily newspapers, independent broadcast outlets such as yours, will give it heavy attention. We've seen a lot of reporters and a lot of broadcasters from independent operations cover these meetings, cover them very thoroughly. We see that in Canada. We see it in the United States, and we see it for much longer in Europe, where the major newspapers give heavy attention, page one attention, photos, stories raised, and the proper questions. But why are they meeting in secret? What are they trying to hide from the world? So they've been slowed down badly. They really expected by the year 2000, back in the 90s, they were confident that by 2000, the United States would surrender its sovereignty, along with the other nations in the Western Hemisphere, to the American Union. It would be using not the dollar, but the Amerigo. Well, they're not even close to that now, and it was at least 15 years ago when they were so confidently predicting that that would happen by the year 2000, 11 years ago. Okay, I'm wound down now, so you fire some questions at me.
Okay, Jim, you can hear me, correct?
Yes.
Okay, good. Now, again, briefly, so people know how serious this is, and your back issues are going back 36, 37 years, are all over the web. I want you to go back briefly, and it isn't you predicting stuff. You have real sources. This group are some of the biggest decision makers, globalist one-worlders. Decades ago, they said this didn't exist, and you were a crazy person. Now they have to cover it. Now the news blockade has been partially broken by Drudge Report and others that pick up our reports via your reporting. Briefly, tell folks about some of the incredible news you've broken months or years before it even happened, so they understand the magnitude of what you said, saying that the globalists have decided to go to $7 a gallon for gas to rape us, and more specifics on that. But first, you know, the proof's in the pudding that you've researched what they do. You have sources inside, and they are calling the shots, evidenced by you months or years before it happens, being able to tell people what's going to unfold.
Yes, I don't make predictions. I do report what Bilderberg is advocating, and history does confirm my reporting. Some of the bigger ones, I think, would go back to Bill Clinton's years in the White House when we reported that Bilderberg warned the United States to go to war somewhere and go over their Vietnam syndrome. Bilderberg loved Vietnam because these, of course, war profiteering is big bucks to these the guys like Rockefeller, who are sons of the industrial age. So we reported that Bilderberg wanted Bill Clinton to go to war, get over the I wonder if I'm reaching back. I don't have it exactly in front of me.
No, the Balkans. You called that. You called a year before he even ran that he would run and got laughed at. You called close to a year before that the Berlin Wall would fall in a staged event. You reported Bush would endorse global warming. You reported when gas was $45 to $60 varying that it would go to $150. Then you said it would go down because they decided to stop the squeezing because folks weren't buying as much as they thought. You've reported everything because of your sources inside. You also said that Obama was at the secret meeting in Chantilly. and that within a few days that Hillary would announce Secretary of State. We were both at that meeting covering it. The rest of the media didn't know where Hillary and Obama had gone. We did. Then that was confirmed. I mean, just everything, Jim. These guys are running the world. You have the sources inside, and we're now getting some similar sources, but not as high level. We've got some of their minions. This is huge.
Yes, there's a little fun piece of White House about that meeting, the meeting that Hillary attended in Georgia, I think it was. We knew she was there. We'd seen her there. The staff, girls carrying drinks around the swimming pool, were excited about seeing Hillary Clinton. So I get back to Washington and call the White House for official confirmation, and the White House, the office, press secretary for the First Lady, they have two different things. The First Lady said, no, she wasn't. I said, okay, I know she was there. What I'll do is, unless you want to change your view, is to report that the First Lady did attend the Bilderberg meeting, but her staff was unaware that she was president of the meeting. And then there, I get some screeches. I say, you have 25 minutes to call me back and confirm it. I'll report that she was there, and you said that you did not know. They called back and said, yes, she was there. It's a lot of fun teasing these kids.
And you got her hit for the Logan Act for that, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Well, the taxpayers paid the $300,000 fine that a U.S. District Judge imposed on the White House for violating the Logan Act. So they were fined $300,000, which the taxpayers paid. I hate to see be the reason taxes are raised, but I did want her publicly nailed, and that was fun. And then her roommate, Bill Clinton, the most bloody-handed draft dodger to ever disgrace the White House with his presence, or his attack on Kosovo, goes for the fun of it. Well, Bilderberg orders. It was a short war. We had no casualties. Americans love wars when we don't have anybody hurt. But think about the literally thousands of people, who, old men, women, children, who died on the ground because our planes flew so high to stay out of range of the artillery on the ground from Kosovo that they could not bomb accurately. They just had to drop the bombs blindly. So that's why a school bus full of school children are all killed when a business gets hit. A Hardee's hamburger joint was hit. And all kinds of innocent targets were hit, and innocent people died because Bilderberg ordered Clinton to do that to get us out of what they call Vietnam syndrome, where Americans did not want to go to war anymore because of the bad experience in Vietnam, which was very highly profitable to
all right,
guys.
Jim, I'm sorry to interrupt. You could tell these incredible stories for hours that are all on record. You dropped a bigger bombshell, and by the way, Drudge is just, thank you, Matt. Matt, obviously listening, has just red-linked Bilderberg Insider, Kissinger calls for U.S. invasion of Libya. Get Watson on the phone with all these new developments. We need to beef this article now with the new information. Jim Tucker, the world is listening. Again, you've called it repeatedly. You're saying Bilderberg is giving the orders to run oil up to what, sir, and what's the time frame?
By the end of the year 2012, they want to be paying $7 gallons of gasoline. They point out that the British are now are paying the equivalent of $8 gallon. And what they want to do is to bring the American standard of living down, lifting the standard of living of the so-called third world, our poor countries. They call them developing nations, but that's a euphemism for poor countries. So they want the whole world to have the same standard of living, which is lower than the American standard of living. Part of the world government movement. If everybody on Earth has the same standard of living, substantially lower than the American standard of living, because our system is so much better than dictators.
Sure, they're on record. They call it a post-industrial world. Maurice Strong, the head of the Goddard Space Center, Al Gore, they're all going to have palaces, but they're going to take our wealth. In the name of helping the poor, but really it came out at the Copenhagen summit. They were actually going to cut carbon on the poor even more.
Yes, most definitely. Well, that's why the meetings always follow the Copenhagen thing. That's a big meeting, and they do meet behind closed doors, but they do have 3,000 reporters and broadcasters attending, and they do hold press conferences. You can ask questions, you can ask hostile questions. So as long as that's why Bilderberg is more interesting than these guys, because Bilderberg tries to deny their existence.
Jim, if you can, do 5 more minutes with us into the next hour, or 5 minutes in the next segment. And I'll be talking to you during the break and checking the audio again. Jim Tucker, veteran True Gumshoe investigative journalist. The proof's in the pudding. This guy deserves a Pulitzer Prize, though all he's gotten is ridicule. But he's been completely vindicated over the years. And Matt Drudge has got our report up, front page, drudgereport.com. He's with us 5 minutes in the next hour. He is a living legend. I mean, it doesn't get any more. He wears the straw hat and the suit, folks. I mean, but he doesn't do it because he's copying the archetypal image of a reporter. He is the real deal, and he's giving us super inside intel. Jim Tucker, other key intel from your sources. Reading here, it sounds like the speech Brzezinski gave last year to the CFR that was televised on C-SPAN when he said the elite are in trouble, the world is waking up, everybody's talking about the New World Order, the private Federal Reserve. More intel, other tidbits that you can give us, Jim. Again, Jim's having trouble hearing us. Jim, more tidbits. Jim, we're live. Every time he's at his farm in Virginia, this happens. I think he has bad phone lines. When he's at the newspaper, AFP, there's never this problem. But we got him on short notice today. It goes in and out. And Jim is a character, to say the least. You know, he's been shot at in Portugal, arrested many times. 70-something years old years ago when he'd be climbing over fences and through drainage ditches and dressing up like wait staff to infiltrate elite confabs. Jim, can you hear me? All right, well, it doesn't matter. We got the huge breaking information, and I should have known when I heard he was at his farm. Look out. This happens every time he's at his farm. I'm tempted to buy a cell phone because they're only like, you can get one for like $30 a month and mail it to Jim, because I'd have Jim on every week if we didn't have this issue when he's not in D.C. That doesn't matter. As soon as he gets back to D.C. where they got some good phones, we'll say he can hear us when he's on the phone. Jim, you're live. Tell us any other information that you got from your Bilderberg source. You were telling us that Kissinger's depressed.
Yes, and they've been depressed the last two or three meetings, which is good news for us. The more he's in David Rockefeller and the other kids are depressed, the happier we are, because that means they realize they're failing. In fact, two or three years ago, prior to their meetings, we were able to get close enough to overhear when they started wandering around the palace yards too much, so that we could sneak up and sit under a wall and eavesdrop. And they were, one of them said, it's almost not worthwhile for us to have these meetings anymore, since they were making it so difficult. And they were really downbeat. They've been downbeat ever since because, as I mentioned earlier, we are winning and they are losing. The patriots of America and from other countries in Europe and Canada are winning, and they are losing. They're far behind in their world government ambitions.
Any other tidbits, any other intel out of these three speeches that your Bilderberg source witnessed Kissinger give?
Let's see if I can... Struggling back. I'm scanning even as we speak.
Yeah, what else you got there in the notes, Jim? Give it all to us.
I'm shuffling even
Well, we're going to break for 1 minute, so you'll be able to finish up, but go ahead and get started as soon as you find it.
All right. I was looking for the names of some of these people. Nye was one of them. And also the Ozilic, as in former, now president of World Bank and former big advisor to the president of economic affairs. They were both in this conversation about how bad things are and how depressed they are. They're especially upset that Americans are aware of the fact that if...
Well, back in 1 minute, stay there!
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, Jim Tucker, I could talk to him all day, but he's leaving in 5 minutes. And then we'll continue with all the news and other very informative guests. Presidential candidate Gary Johnson joining us. Okay, you were going over Zelikow, World Bank head, and others in these meetings with Kissinger, these closed-door globalist pre-Bilderberg steering committee meetings, and the fact that they're very upset, and there was some key info that they're upset with dealing with the American people. Jim Tucker.
Yes, a conversation overheard between Zelik, Kissinger, and Rockefeller in his wheelchair, although we couldn't hear Rockefeller say anything. Kissinger's Rockefeller's valet issue. Bemoan the fact that Americans had become aware that if the so-called rebels in Libya should win, or partially win, just get end up with a piece of the territory, the Taliban, Al-Qaeda kids, will be in great shape because they're part of the rebellion. The Taliban and Al-Qaeda are part, a significant part, of the rebel forces in Libya. So if the rebels prevail even partially, holding just part of the country, the Taliban will be in position to attack Washington on the level of 9/11. And they're very upset that Americans became aware of that. And they grouse about the expletive newspapers and broadcasters that expose that information and force it into the they call it the national press, referring to broadcasters, TV outlets.
And why? Because they're running and supporting Al-Qaeda and using the terror to take our liberties? Specifically, why are they upset about that?
Well, I don't think the, as bad as they are, the Bilderberg kids really intended to help Al-Qaeda, but they did intend to manufacture a big war in Libya to so that they could inflame the entire Middle East, as I mentioned earlier, and rationalize the U.S. attack on Iran. I think that they were just, in their interest, were simply unaware that the Taliban was a significant part of the rebel movement. But nevertheless, if they succeed, if the rebels succeed to any degree, the Taliban will be as strong as it was, but it is capable as it was of killing 3,000 Americans as it was 9/11.
So they're upset the American people know that they're basically giving Al-Qaeda, Taliban, a new base of operations, and they know that this is going to backfire on them and is backfiring?
Yes, and they're outraged that it was these newspapers and broadcasters did it and forced it into what they call the national press. Although the Washington Post was forced in, New York Times, LA Times, all of which represented Bilderberg on their promises of secrecy, felt forced to acknowledge the Taliban role. It put it on the Trump page deep inside the story, but it would have normally been the chief whiz page one lead.
Jim, we've only got 1 minute left. Quick, any other bombshells that you've got? This is incredible.
Well, I think we just about exhausted this for this year, but get ready for the higher gas taxes so that we can continue our recession, depression, so that we'll be happy to have a world government at the end of 2012.
As our saviors. And again, when's the date in Switzerland of the 2011 Bilderberg Confab?
Oh, Lord, it's June 10 to 13.
And you're going to be there, right?
Yes.
I may jump on an aircraft and join you. I'm already going to be the keynote speaker at Talkers in New York right before that. I may just get on an airplane and come out there.
You'll know where I'm staying, so we'll certainly get in touch.
Well, Jim, you're incredible. If I don't get on an airplane and come out to Switzerland, I've always wanted to see Switzerland and confront these people. We will have you here live with us, correct?
Very good.
Jim, you are awesome. We'll let you go now. Thank you so much, and we appreciate you breaking that information. Find out more at AmericanFreePress.net, InfoWars.com, and DrudgeReport.com. Thank you, Jim.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, I'm going to get into masses of vital news. And then coming up in the next hour, for 30 minutes, we got Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster going over what the S&P downgrade on the dollar is. They're saying that it looks like we may lose the AAA rating. What that's going to signify with financial expert Bob Chapman, who's predicted all of this with precision. Gary Johnson, former governor of New Mexico, threw his hat in the ring. He's in New Hampshire right now. He was in studio a few months ago with us, and I said, "You're getting ready to run for president, right? That's why you're doing a tour." And he has a new book out, and he kind of went, "Well, we're gauging the waters." Well, now he's thrown the hat in the ring. He's in New Hampshire. We'll be talking to the Libertarian/Republican in the last 30 minutes of the broadcast. And I've just got masses of incredible news. Fukushima radiation exposure much higher than mainstream media admits. Huge story there. We also have Matt Ryan's report getting into the video shot by the robots and the drones showing the massive devastation at Fukushima. Also, New York budget cuts include closing 20 fire stations while millions of dollars are spent to buy toxic fluoride, that's a toxic byproduct of the aluminum and fertilizer industry, to dump it in the water. Also, the 9/11 first responders, cops, military, medical workers are being basically put on watch list. Just absolutely incredible that that's going on. 9/11 responders to be warned they will be screened by FBI terrorism watch list because they can't be trusted. Well, we got the internal documents 2 years ago. None of it has to do with Taliban, Al-Qaeda. They're completely protected, green-lighted. Underwear bomber helped on the plane by the State Department, Detroit Free Press, AP. We told you a month before with the lawyer who was on board and witnessed it all happen. The guy didn't even have a passport. And the embassy gave him a visa. And then men in suits, a guy in a suit helped get him on the plane. And was so powerful, the airport was saying, "No, you got to have ID." And the guy showed him some credentials and got him on. Point is, they're using these terrorists to menace us, and meanwhile, it's all pointed at the cops, the military, because you used to have guns. You can't be trusted. They know that the firemen and police, I've been in New York many times, are waking up to Building 7 being blown up. It's all targeting you. That's what's so sick about this. You better grow up. Some of you out there, you know, cops that pull over people with Ron Paul stickers, the Bob Barr stickers, you know, these are the Myack reports, first came out in Missouri, now we learn it's nationwide. All right, I'm now ranting. The point is, that's all coming up. Right now, the Drudge Report in the last 4 or 5 years has led the way every year, breaking the blockade. I've been reporting on Bilderberg Group for 16-plus years, Jim Tucker for 36, 37, since 1975, do the math, I guess 37 years. And until about a decade ago, the media made fun of him and said it didn't exist. Now they just make fun and say, "Oh, global elites, hundreds of them meeting in secret, royalty, Rothschilds, Rockefellers, presidents, governors who always turn out to then be presidents." Rick Perry went a few years ago, got to watch him. They just make fun of you. But now, because of the Drudge Report, and you got to give them the credit, taking our reports and other foreign reports and breaking the news blockade in the U.S., they've gone from making fun of Bilderberg Group and saying it doesn't exist to now mainstream news and mainline conservative talk show hosts saying, "Yeah, the Bilderberg Group wants one world government." And then their public meeting, Davos, they called for $100 trillion more 3 months ago in additional taxpayer money. Put up Telegraph or AP headline. Davos calls for $100 trillion in additional funds that they can leverage to infinity through fractional reserve banking. The point is they can't play games anymore. They can't deny this stuff exists anymore. They tried ridicule. They tried laughing at us. They tried ignoring us. It's over. The dam's broken. The genie's out of the bottle. The cow left the barn. Chickens flew the coop. The train left the station. And I'm going to Paul Watson here in just a moment to give him some marching orders, one of my best researchers and writers out there. But after he leaves us, I just want to break down how positive things are. Yes, it was the best of times, the worst of times. What a tale of two cities. It's only when things start getting bad that people get off the bench and get in the game. And the question is, will you get off the bench and wake up and break your conditioning and the trance you're under before we let the globalists carry us to the end of the road? And let me tell you, it isn't pretty. So I want to give you the positive news and the negative news, then news blitz, take a few calls ahead of the governor and others joining us. But I want to bring Watson up. Watson, good job on covering the Jim Tucker information. It is red-linked up near the top of Drudge Report, which, again, that's like winning a major touchdown in the InfoWar. You know, instead of getting a 500,000 visitors to InfoWars.com and, you know, 350,000 to Prison Planet today, we'll get, conservatively, one time it was 3 million individual users. It's usually about 1 million. We'll get 1 million people, 1 million people reading that today. And then it gets even better. Every blog under the sun will then copy our article, because I could care less about getting the traffic. I want them seeing that info. I want my children to grow up free. I want to defeat these criminal globalists. I got a beef with them. I'm obsessed with defeating them. I don't like bullies squatting on me and dominating me. You ever had a bully sit on your chest and spit in your face and sit there and just hit you in the face while his friends laugh? That happened to me a lot, folks. And you know what? I'm glad it happened. It made me who I am. I talk a lot about it. 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, getting the snot beat out of me every week, every month, if I was lucky. Until I finally found, when I was about 12 and a half, 13, doesn't matter if this kid's 4 years older than me and weighs 100 pounds more, and I'm little and skinny, and he's sitting on my chest, spitting in my face. If I just get angry, he can't stop me. I'm going to throw him off, and then I'm going to sit there, and I'm going to break his nose and knock his teeth out. And you know what? The punk deserves it. But you know what? You can't beat somebody's butt unless you're in the right. That's what the founder of the Texas Rangers said. A man in the wrong can't stand up against a man in the right if the man in the right keeps on a-coming. And you know what? You may bring me down, New World Order. You may kill me deader than a hammer. But it was Lord Nelson that said, damn the maneuvers, go straight at him. And then it was a U.S. admiral who said, damn the torpedoes, just go straight at him. And that's what I'm saying. I'm coming straight on for the New World Order. I can smell blood. I can smell fear. I can smell defeat. I am a human torpedo. A salvo, a torpedo of truth. And if you're going to call me and say I'm copying Charlie Sheen, it's the other way around. And I love it that he picks up my little terms. The point is, we are torpedoes of truth. We are salvos. Violent torpedoes of truth for liberty. And we are coming on. We are committed to the fight. Like we're on the cavalry pouring in against the enemy. And I got my saber and they got theirs. And we're just going to have a hack and slash. And that's just the end of it. And nothing on earth is going to stop us in the info war. That's why the globalists want to stage terror attacks and demonize liberty movements so they can have a war with us. But we're reaching out to the military and the police. Just commit. Nothing's going to stop you. There's no standing down now. We're going in. We're going in hot. And let me tell you, we're getting some serious damage on the New World Order. We're blowing the daylights out of them. And they're scared. The White House is scared. Cass Sunstein's scared. I know Jim Tucker's 100% Ironside source. The proof's in the pudding, but I don't even need that. I got Brzezinski in public. I got the globalist documents. Watson, obviously you need to say update on the Drudge link, and then at the bottom, you know, say go to the bottom for the update on the globalists wanting to raise by the end of next year. That's confirming what the oil company execs told Williams, that they're going to try to go to $7 a gallon to bankrupt us with the deindustrialization of the economy, the post-industrial system. the fact that they're hopping mad that it's in the LA Times, New York Times, everywhere, because the alternative media reported it months ago. They've been forced to report Taliban, Al-Qaeda is the core group leading the rebels. I mean, did you, Paul, you said you were listening. Did you, a great writer over at PrisonPlanet.com, the editor, did you hear that bombshell info with Jim Tucker?
Yes, Alex. The Al-Qaeda stuff is in the article a few paragraphs before the end, so that's already in there.
What about the bombshell oil info?
No, I didn't include any of that.
Yeah, that's the big, because you remember 2008, it was 2006, he said they're going to pop the housing bubble, and Esalen sources confirm that. We need to maybe add some of his predictions there so folks know how serious this is, and then even Wikipedia has links to the old articles he wrote to prove it. He called it in 2006. They popped the housing bubble by 2008. In 2007, from his sources, he said now they're going to run up the gas prices in 2008. You even wrote articles at the time, 2008. I was at Bilderberg covering it. And it went up to 149. Then he said they were going to drop it. Before they did, it did drop. And so basically, it's the same intel we're getting from Williams, because he has former head of one of the big three oil company execs telling him the same thing. It's an agenda. We need to get that in there, or maybe its own article, but then a link with an update at the top. I know you're doing one on Columbine and this latest copycat there in Littleton with the propane bomb, but, I mean, obviously that's bombshell, Watson, correct?
Yeah, well, the bombshell thing about it is the fact that Kissinger wants it to go on through 2012, meaning to the at least another year. Given the fact that it's already cost American taxpayers at least, and this is just up to April 4th, so we're talking 2 weeks ago, $608 million for this intervention in a civil war in North Africa, when in places like New York they're shutting down 20 fire stations, laying off police, and basically mothballing entire communities. I mean, imagine if some people are talking about 20 or 30 years. This is billions and billions of dollars that are going to be spent on this, supporting Al-Qaeda and the rebels, and it's only going to further bankrupt the U.S. as it loses its AAA credit rating and the dollar plummets.
Well, Watson, you want to hold over for five more, or you want to get to the article?
I'll beef the article up now.
All right, well done. We'll be right back with key information, the good news and the bad news and the ugly news. Stay with us. All right, I've already covered some of the positive news, but when you read what Cass Sunstein, the regulations are, has written publicly, he says, the alternative media is killing us. We've got to set up a taxation system first, a government takeover of the web where we place announcements over people's websites saying things aren't true and then directing them to government or trusted sources. We need to reach out more to the mainstream media, the dinosaur media, to demonize alternative views. And then we need to prepare the public for the arrest of people that engage in conspiracy theories. And he gave a list. He said, and you can pull this up. I mean, this has been even in Reuters. And they report it with a straight face. A New York magazine last month wrote an article kind of agreeing with Cass Sunstein and saying, Alex Jones might be a dangerous guy. You know, Alex Jones is doing some really bad stuff. Is Cass Sunstein right saying, shut Alex down, you know? I mean, they're really doing this. And the internet, new ID, Chinese-style ID, Obama announced last Friday, 7 days ago, the new announcement that all over the country, the cops are grabbing your cell phone data illegally and hacking your phones because they have backdoors built in them and grabbing all the data off of it. Smartphones, not just Apple, I'm telling you all week, smartphones. Are all jacked in, Telecommunications Act of 96, and Franken, the moron senator, he is a moron, anti-liberty, anti-gun, anti-family, is saying he wants to have an investigation. Well, investigate your own Senate and House then, Bubba. They're not going to like, we need to find out who committed this crime. Oh, we did. Oh, excuse me. Well, then I guess it's okay. This is all systematic. This is all systematic. But the good news is they're panicking. For Cass Sunstein to come out and say that and do that and say, nobody trusts the mainstream media. We've also got to pose as conspiracy theorist. Alternative media is what that is a buzzword for. And anybody who questions the system, anybody who doesn't believe the lies being read off Obama's teleprompter is a conspiracy theorist. I mean, a month and a half ago, we were conspiracy theorists to say there were ground troops from the West in Libya, and now it's been admitted, but we only had the sources from Europe admitting it at the time. But the issue I'm getting at here is the system is in trouble. They've lost all credibility. Congress has an 11%. The president's got an all-time low for a president 2 years into their administration. These big mega corporations are in trouble because now conservatives are finally figuring out the big mega corporations are not free market and are using big government and corporate welfare to not just fund themselves with taxpayer money, but shut down their competition with regulations. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, for like a week straight, I dial through conservative and mainline radio, and it's channel after channel. They're saying the same thing. I tuned in Glenn Beck last night saying the same thing. I've been monitoring every day for over a decade. I've never seen something like this. And you've got Brzezinski freaking out last year, saying for the first time the entire world is awake to the global elite and we are in trouble. And he's one of the top architects of this system under Jimmy Carter and now Obama, one of his top foreign advisors on national security matters, geopolitical matters. And humanity is awake and staring for the first time in world history. What do we get out of major high-level Bilderberg Group source directly from Tucker? Who, again, you can take to the bank. Man, what are we going to do without Tucker? Let me tell you, boy, he has put some miles on that body. He smokes filterless Pall Malls. And he can drink me under the table back when I was a drink. I'm sorry. Tim's a great guy, man. He is the real McCoy of an old-timer type. But not until his gumshoeing's done, you know, when they're on assignment. Then, well, that's how reporters are anyways. That's where you find all the big scoops. I'm just in there with a pad and paper while he's talking. And Jim is something else, folks. How could anybody smoke filterless cigarettes one after the other? But side issue. Inside Bilderberg steering group, because they have monthly meetings ahead of it regionally with smaller numbers of the leadership, they are totally depressed, freaked out, and just want to bankrupt everybody, thinking that if we're totally poor, they'll use poverty like Mexico does or North Korea does as a way to just put us in abject despotism via the economic weapon of impoverishment so we're controlled. And they are, and by the way, I don't even have to believe Jim Tucker, even though trust but verify. The globalists are always saying this publicly. They want a post-industrial world. So I want to finish up with the good news and then some of the bad news. Because the good news is we're waking up to these crooks. The bad news is they foresaw that we'd wake up, not this much, but they foresaw it. So they put a police state in worldwide to try to suppress us when we did wake up. Because we're waking up a little bit earlier than they thought we would, and their whole timetable's behind schedule. The point is the fight is on, we're in the fight. These internal recordings started coming out of Obama to big fundraisers. And I was reading reports where they make reporters pay tens of thousands of dollars to even get into these things. And they don't even let them record, but some, of course, sneak and do it. And there's Obama up there talking about these evil bankers and how they want to get us. Well, his whole administration is run not by your corner bank, not by the bank down the street that does a great job loaning money out, not by your credit union. not by your local savings and loan, but by the big six megabanks. And to hear all of the conservatives, I mean, all of them. And it's a talking point from this show, not a talking point from the old George Bush days in the White House, bought and paid for by the same interest. Via self-preservation, all of these middle class and upper middle class and nouveau riche people thought they were part of the elite, helped cover up the Bilderberg Group and the New World Order. I remember all these mainline talk show hosts, Limbaugh and others, for years. There's no such thing as the Bilderberg Group. Kook detector. He'd play the sound of helicopters in the background. Really, the Miami Herald and a bunch of other newspapers reported on black helicopters doing takeover drills. But again, they would make jokes about it. Well, it doesn't work anymore. When they laugh at us talking about this, they get laughed at. And so now, listening to all of them, they're explaining that there's a super rich elite that want collectivism and that get the government corporate welfare and that use regulations to shut down competition. And I was stuck in traffic doing errands last night, left a little early, and I listened to almost all of Glenn Beck's show. And the whole show is examples throughout history of how elites use government to shut down their competition, and how the Federal Reserve wants a world government, and how socialism is designed by the elites to impoverish and make people dependent. And I am literally beside myself. I got home, my wife was like, why are you so happy? Because I'm usually not unhappy, but focused and quiet, and you'd think I was loud and bombastic like I am on air. I basically just do the research and explode on air. But, and I was like, honey, we're winning. I mean, folks, I'm listening to the local host, the national host. I'm just going through the channel going, is this a joke? And they're all saying it. They finally got it. And it's like those hidden images that came out in the 80s. And they had T-shirts that would have an image made up of a matrix of dots. And you're like, it'll have a caption above it that says, can you see the hidden image? And you look at it, and you step back, and you can't see it, and then you get in the right spot, and you go, whoa, it's a bird, or it's a turtle, or it's a face. How did I not see that? Once you see it, you can't believe that you never saw it before when it's hiding in plain view. It's like those famous paintings where it's a woman sitting at her nightstand or makeup table putting makeup on, and she's a beautiful woman, but then you can reverse it and it's an old woman, or you can reverse it and it's a skull. What do they call those? We should put it on screen for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. Old paintings that show a beautiful woman and a skull. That'll probably bring it up. And then you flip it and it's the skull. See, that's how the New World Order works. They show you the side they want you to see. They tell you what you're seeing when they put an image up. Oh, we're liberating. It's not a war. But you look at another angle, they're not liberating. It is a war. So it's not just two-sided. It's that it's like a deceptive cloaking device. And once the cloaking device falls, everybody goes, what? It's the private Federal Reserve. It's J.P. Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, funding the carbon taxes, funding the corporate welfare, funding the regulations to shut down their competition. And once you got that, you can go to the working class, you can go to the middle class, you can go to the nouveau riche, you can go to the independent billionaires above them, and you can say, do you understand how history works? Humans build the same systems over and over again. Powerful inside elite groups, going back to Rome, you name it. This is what Caesar did. They get together and say, why should we have this big giant middle class? Let's just basically bring in foreigners to be our police to supplant the Romans and basically take their property and then give part of it to the outsiders. And that's what immigration is about, all of it. Immigration would be fine if they got here, were taught American pride, taught Bill of Rights, taught Constitution, handed a firearm once they became citizens, but they're not. They're taught collectivism, political correctness, anti-gun, anti-private property, and the globalists are racing to bring in the Eastern Europeans and the Latin Americans and the Asians and everybody else who come from total despotic socialized systems run by the banking cartels already. or their own version of corrupt elites that operate the same way. It's a tropism. You know what a tropism is? Look it up. Folks, will you give me the definition of a tropism? Did we find, there it is. There it is. Charles Allen Gilbert. And let's click on the image. And it's a beautiful woman in her evening gown putting makeup on with her perfume in front of her. And then it's a double image that it's a skull. And there's a whole class of those. There's some other ones where you flip it over and it's an old woman, or you flip it over and it's a skull. Now, they've done studies, and you can just pull these up. Just type, Americans five times more narcissistic than any other country in psychological studies. That's from 60 years of TV, training us to be spectators and live in la-la land. This all gets into mind control. We can also pull up psychological studies that Americans now, because we're the center of the New World Order, it's not that we're bad, we were the best, so the globalists had to really concentrate on us and test it all out on us to get us under their control so they could use us as their modern Hessian global mercenary system. But in studies, Americans also have more trouble than anyone else in the world in studies recognizing double images, recognizing hidden in plain view. I mean, I look at that image and I instantly see the skull, but we'll put it back on screen. Now, they've done studies in colleges in the U.S. Most people, and you can pull these numbers up, most people cannot see that skull. If you're watching on PrisonPlanet.tv right now, in fact, we ought to do an article about this, or, you know what, let's make that the cartoon of the day down at the bottom of Infowars.com, right-hand side. We'll take that political cartoon down that shows Obama crushing people with debt, saying we've got to take more debt. Let's replace it with that and put under it maybe beauty is in the eye of the beholder or something. But the issue is there, we'll put it back on screen, you are an informed audience looking deeper into things. On average, people watching right now are like, of course you can see the skull. Remember, in studies, and they've actually used this photo in studies and similar ones, most people cannot see that skull. They cannot see it. So this is what's happening. All these talk show hosts can finally see the skull right there in their face. All they can see is the beautiful lady. See, she's the distraction. Why do you think a magician generally uses a beautiful assistant wearing a tiny skirt or no skirt at all? Basically, you know, in fishnet stockings or a garter belts. Why do you think they do that? Because when you're busy looking at her, when she's presenting herself to you, he can do the sleight of hand and get the rabbit from under the table. And once you can see the rabbit, once you can see the trick, once you can see the skull, it's over. Hidden in plain view. And there's some great job finding that with the limited info I gave you. There's a whole class of those. I bet that Wikipedia article will have links, because in the 18th, 19th century, that was all the rage for over 100 years towards the latter part of the 18th into the 19th century. And then into even the 20th, obviously. But I digress. You know, there's a lot of news here to cover. It's just we've got to understand that hidden in plain view is a corrupt, evil elite who own both parties. There are good people in both parties. There are more good people in the Republican Party because they are the group that at least has to pay lip service to the old Republic. They have to at least pay lip service. The left pays lip service to freedom and democracy and anti-war, anti-torture, anti-spying. But you notice, Jimmy Carter gives you FEMA. Jimmy Carter gives you police state. And it just continues with Obama. Because it's two wings on the same bird of prey. I'm not looking at the wings. I'm looking at the head of the bird, the skull of the bird, the eyes of the bird that are attached to the brain of the bird. And I'm looking at the talons of the bird, the face scanning cameras, the checkpoints, the police being taught there is no Fourth Amendment, the warrantless wiretapping, the police with automatic systems that break into your phones and download everything, all being announced. Those are the talons. The wings carry the bird, keep people within the political paradigm, but the talons are the enforcement arm, the talons and the legs. And the heart is the American taxpayer funding and pumping oxygen through the system. But that head, the Trilateral Commission, Bilderberg Group, those are the eyes that connect to the brain. Or you could say the intelligence agencies are the eyes. The issue here is start really studying history. And then once you do, you're not going to be into baseball anymore. You're not going to be into football anymore like you were. You're not going to be into acting cool with your buddies and telling jokes at the bar anymore. Once you find out about history, it will consume you. Reality will consume you. When you realize that this global elite doesn't just want to dominate and take everything over, that they openly say at the UN Biological Diversity Assessment 1996, the State Department Memorandum 200, the countless statements and documents and official U.S. and British policy since 1949 is to establish a global private corporate government, extinguish local, state, and federal sovereignty, and to then set up a total control grid to carry out an organized one world, one child policy that will then phase in genetic testing to be able to have children and then licenses to even have one child, and then to actually release bioweapons to forcibly reduce populations. And they built the cadres of eugenics scientists who believe in this, who they test injecting little kids all over the world with live polio, as they've been caught, Associated Press, just last year, over and over again worldwide, and live syphilis. Not just black people 50 years ago. Everybody. And then when you realize this is going on and that they're putting radioactive isotopes in our water, CBS News, Texas. Oh, they're putting it in the water, but we just want to know why they covered it up. If you're a new listener, you're like, this guy's crazy. Oh, really? I'm crazy? Why don't you write down everything I'm saying, get in front of a search engine, and get ready. Get ready. Because I didn't make up anything. You see, weak-minded people choose to not believe. I've had Nightline here, MSNBC, Rolling Stone, New York Magazine, Texas Monthly, list goes on and on, hundreds of newspaper interviews over the phone, and I'll say, they go, so you believe the government wants to kill us? Ha, 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 80%. And I go, would you like me to send you dozens of statements at the UN just last year, Ted Turner, saying global government, one-child policy? Would you like me to send you David Rockefeller, New York Times, calling for it, saying how great Mao was? Would you like me to send you the statements from the UN? Would you like to send me the World Population Program 1949 issued by His Royal Highness as a program in England? Would you like to read the statements by the World Wildlife Fund? Would you like to understand eugenics, social Darwinism, Malthusianism? Would you like me to send it all to you? Would you like me to send you hundreds of quotes of Nobel Prize winners like Bertrand Russell? And the list goes on and on, saying the exact same thing. And then it goes back to Plato 2,500 years ago, or 2,350, I forget. The point is, writing books about how they should breed the lower classes to be mindless slaves, or maybe just go ahead and kill them all and use war to do it. And that he is sourced by Sir Malthus. He is sourced by Darwin. He is sourced by the social Darwinists. Eugenics started in England 160 years ago, roughly 1850. Galton, the cousin of Darwin. I'm not getting into debates about evolution. The point is, they are saying social Darwinism, that it's their right to enslave us, their right to kill us, because they got in positions of power. That means they are the fittest. That means it's their right. You may have heard of this, Adolf Alois Hitler, who in Nuremberg, have you read the Nuremberg trial? Just type Nuremberg eugenics defense. And the Nazis got up and said, yeah, we injected little kids with stuff. Yeah, we killed people. Yeah, we did medical experiments. Yeah. And Hitler gave speeches and wrote letters to Margaret Sanger, and I've got it in Endgame, and all these other top eugenicists on White House and Rockefeller payroll, and the Rockefeller family funded the Kaiser Wilhelm Institute for the Nazis from the 20s before they even got into power, right through it, and IBM, run by Thomas Watson, who traveled to worship Hitler and who gave him the machines and the IBM technicians to put the tattoos on people. That's the code number they would enter in the machine to decide how long to work them or when to kill them. They would measure their body fat and age and all this and enter it, and the machine would tell them who to kill and who not to kill. You know, I've told this story. My dad was top of his class when he was a junior in high school, and he was sent to the Texas Science Academy thing, and he won an essay about fighting the communist threat and all this stuff in Dallas on a radio station, so he got real popular, and he traveled around and gave speeches. The point is, my dad, when he got to UT as a sophomore in high school over the summer, they then tested thousands of people, and they took the cream of that crop and called them in behind closed doors and said, we're going to set up a world government. And by the way, this happened to anybody who was top of their class. Just like Model UN goes after the top of the class, training the kids how to be UN bureaucrats. And he saw what it was and said no way and ran from it. And this has gone on all over the world. And again, I've told the story. His Jewish professor, who was the head of the botany department, later his Jewish professor when he went to UT, but then in high school, he was one of the heads of the program. His name was Speer. He called him in and he said, Hitler was bad because he was only going after certain groups. We're going after everybody, black, Jewish, German, Chinese, because he was obsessed with breeding plants and moths and all this stuff. And he said, we're going to make the super system and you're going to be part of it. And there was these other UT officials. And then Aaron Dykes went to UT decades later and they taught basically the same stuff. Then they tell the general public there is no New World Order. And my dad a few months ago did correct me. Specifically, the UT people were like, Hitler was bad going around just killing certain groups. It wasn't that they were going to kill everybody. It was that they were going to have one-child policies and basically phase out the dumb people. And so that's why if you read any major futurist book put out by transhumanists, the eugenicist, this is all they talk about. It's all Ted Turner, Prince Philip, all of them, Queen Beatrix. This is their religion. And that's my point. They think it's good to get rid of you. Now, we've got Bob Chapman coming up on the economy, S&P downgrading the outlook for the dollar retaining a AAA rating, the U.S. retaining its credit rating. Here's AP today. Greek Prime Minister, ratings agencies are running our lives. Well, that's the plan. And that's what the big banks are doing. The nation will be even more bankrupt once we got to pay more interest to these private bankers for the right to even use our own currency. And we've got some of these other headlines. Oil lifted by weak dollar and volatile trade. Because it's Friday, I guess Good Friday, the day before or 2 days before Easter, the markets are closed here. And they expected, because of lighter trading, for gold and silver to correct a little bit before continuing to go up. But no, gold and silver are up in the foreign Asian markets. And that's because the dollar is down. Now, there are some put options in the next month for gold and silver to go down, but there are more of the other options, the calls, for it to go up. Regardless, the dollar, this isn't the Hunt brothers trying to corner silver in 80. This is, and this is what all the analysts are admitting, this is the dollar and other currencies devaluing and people and institutions like universities running to secure something. And it doesn't mean it's a perfect silver bullet. They could pull some manipulation and drive it down, but it always just goes back up in the last 11 years. Ted Anderson, tell us the prices on the specials of the gold and silver you bought in the last month. The stuff you bought 2 months ago sold out, so prices have gone up. It is better than anything else I've seen out there. The silver dollars, the silver half dollars, the gold francs, the sovereigns, the American eagles, the buffaloes, all of it. You got some great deals, but this is amazing because you and I talking last night expected gold and silver to go down a little bit today, but it didn't. It only went up.
Yeah, I know. It did. It went up, and now in the Asian markets, like you said, with Good Friday, the markets being closed, not only here in the United States, but also in Europe. But Asia, the market's strong. 1507.50 gold, that's up $1.80. 4672 silver, that's up too.
And generally, the major markets in the West being closed would automatically lower prices because volume goes down. The opposite is happening. That's a big sign that it's going to explode next week.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. I mean, the Asians are the one that are so concerned about the United States dollar. I mean, let's face it, China wants to get away from the United States dollar. I'm going to hold that price right through Easter Sunday here on the Obama DVD, Follow the Republic, Endgame. It's $120 delivered, and I just want people to take advantage of that offer. I mean, it just right now at this time, everything else, Alex, is just, you know, I wake up in the morning and the prices are up, and it's so hard to hold on. We've got so many people placing orders. Silver's in such short supply. Eagles are just almost impossible to buy. Rounds, I mean, you try going to a local dealer and trying to buy silver. There's just nothing out there.
No, they're selling it for $50 a piece, so they've got it. You've got three silver dollars, well over $120 value, what, $130 now? In the market, three of my best-selling films, three different DVDs, and free shipping. So that's basically $80 off what it should cost. Just the three silver dollars at the price you're offering them is the best deal I've seen out there. How much is it, Ted?
It's $120 delivered for the three silver dollars and the three videos. It's just a fabulous buy. With spot where it is, you can't buy the silver dollars for that out there for that price.
And that's also, shipping's included in that, folks. You can't beat it. 800-686-2237. When you call tonight, today, or this weekend, they'll be there. It ends Sunday night. Be sure and ask about other stuff on the radio list. Tell them Alex Jones sent you. 800-686-2237.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Coming up in 30 minutes, former New Mexico governor and presidential candidate on the Republican ticket, Gary Johnson, is going to be joining us. Bob Chapman should be popping in, calling us any moment. I got a lot of key news here that we're going to be going over. Obviously, big story up on Drudge Report right now, red-linked. Bilderberg Insider, Kissinger calls for U.S. ground invasion of Libya. It's also on Infowars.com, but then again at DrudgeReport.com is the easiest way to find it. And Paul Watson is also adding new info since we had Jim Tucker, who's got the Bilderberg sources on record, joining us. He joined us and broke down the fact that the banksters are saying they're going to raise oil prices by the end of next year, conferring with what our big oil company exec source has told us. And I know the source that Pastor Lindsey Williams has given us. Of course, Ken Fromm, now public, the other big oil company executive, died last year, so we can now tell you about one of his sources, saying that they're planning to take it up to about $7 a gallon by the end of next year as part of a system to bankrupt the general public and to take excess dollars off the global market and send them back to the globalist. They feed them out there into the economy, and then they suck them back up through their vacuum cleaner. So that is coming up. Also, Senator Al Franken questions Apple over iPhone tracking. Well, now they admit Google and the other companies are involved, as I told you. The Congress should know. It is the Congress that put this into law in 1996. So we're going to be going over that as well. We're going to be going over what's happening with the 9/11 responders. To be warned, they will be screened by FBI's terrorism watch list. This out of the George Soros Huffington Post. A provision of the new 9/11 health bill may add insult to injury for people who feel sick after the service. In the aftermath of the 01 Al-Qaeda attacks, the Huffington Post has learned, tens of thousands of cops, firefighters, construction workers, and others who survived the worst terrorist assault in U.S. history and risked their lives in the wake of the will soon be informed that their names must be run through the FBI's terrorism watch list, according to a letter obtained. Well, we've got the Homeland Security internal documents from 2 years ago. Their number one group they spy on is veterans and gun owners. Any of the responders who are not compared to the database of suspected terrorists would be barred from getting treatment for numerous worsening ailments. I remember Homeland Security Ridge, the head of it years ago, said on C-SPAN, he said, you're going to have a job. To have a job, you're going to have Homeland Security authorization to work at 7-Eleven anywhere. So now to get health care, you're going to have to go through them. I've got the clip of Rahm Emanuel saying, we want to put you on a no-fly, no-gun buy. They put you on a list, don't tell you why, no judge, no jury, no conviction. Now they want to put you on a no-gun buy list. They've introduced that legislation, and he's been pushing it for years. And now, I guess, they fought for their health care from the deadly dust that the government told them wasn't dangerous, and so they're going to run them through a terror database, and no judge, no jury, no conviction. It's just if they feel like it, they'll be denied health care. Any of the responders who were not compared to the database suspected terrorists would be barred from getting treatment for numerous worsening ailments that the James Zadarog 9/11 Health Aid Compensation Law was passed to address. It's a requirement that was tacked onto the law during the bitter debates over it last year. The letter from Dr. John Howard, director of the National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health, informs medical providers and administrators that they should begin letting patients know that the new program kicks off this July. This is absurd. Well, no, it's not absurd, said Glenn Klein, former NYPD emergency services officer. It's silly, it's stupid, it's asinine. No, it's not silly. Government sticking their hands down your kids' pants is about breaking your will. Government putting fluoride in your water, it's deadly poison, is about setting the precedent. And running you through a terror database to get health care is what all Americans are going to have. You're not going to have a job. You're not going to get health care. You're not going to have a bank account. You're not going to have a driver's license if they don't approve of it. And the license plate readers are going to know if you're driving without a license, and they're going to SWAT team your butt. That's the future. You don't buy, you don't sell, you don't live, and you got to pay to breathe with the carbon tax.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
All right, Bob Chapman of the InternationalForecaster.com normally joins us for a full hour on Fridays, but we can only get Gary Johnson, former governor of New Mexico and announced the presidential run as a Republican yesterday, in the last 30 minutes. But again, you can check out all of the great work of Bob Chapman at the InternationalForecaster.com. I want to get into S&P. I want to get into what their move saying that the outlook for the U.S. keeping its AAA rating is not good. It's only happened one other time in 1941 and the week after Pearl Harbor. Silver, gold exploding, even though the European and North American markets are shut down for Easter coming up on Good Friday. I want to get into a lot of issues. But first, going to Bob Chapman, this bombshell report put out by Jim Tucker with his inside sources in Bilderberg that have been proven accurate over the years. He's called it all because these guys are running the show. He said they're very frightened. They're very scared, mirroring what Cass Sunstein said at the White House within the documents that have been leaked and admitted to be real. What Brzezinski said last year on C-SPAN, that humanity's awake and staring at the elite and they're in trouble. He said David Rockefeller in his wheelchair, which we just saw him down in Chile. He is in a wheelchair now, 96 years old. Kissinger, his valet, his gopher, and other top globalists at a Bilderberg steering group meeting ahead of the meeting in June in Switzerland. These also were meetings in Europe, three of them, that they are panicking, they are scared, and they've decided to go ahead and raise the oil prices in the next year and a half to $7 a gallon in an attempt to impoverish us like Mexico or North Korea does, to make us so poor we can't do anything but try to survive. And we know that's their public policy of post-industrial America with the green carbon taxes, and that Kissinger is pushing for the full-on ground invasion of Libya, and that they're hopping mad that alternative media forced the LA Times, New York Times, Washington Post to report that al-Qaeda is the core of the Libyan groups being backed by the West. They are in three different meetings, which makes them dangerous, Bob, very, very scared right now. And that means they're more dangerous than ever. Bob Chapman, military intelligence author, biggest private, for those that don't know him, a lot of news stations, biggest newsletter, financial newsletter in history till he retired, came back. Biggest private silver and gold broker, just amazing foresight on what's happening. This really concurs with your overall analysis and your military sources that the system I mean, I'm hearing it all over talk radio now. Now mainline people are saying the ultra-rich are robbing the middle class. Conservatives are not just worshiping megacorporations. They finally have shifted their paradigm and said both parties are owned. The ultra-rich are waging war against the middle class because the middle class and nouveau riche have figured out they weren't going to have seats at the New World Order table, Bob. I mean, this is so exciting what's happening, but we've got to know the empire is going to strike back. Give us your analysis.
Well, first of all, that was great. And secondly, we have talked about that months ago. And I'm glad they're picking up on it. And I'm glad they're terrified, because they should be, because we're not going to take any prisoners. And they're not either. I think they'll expedite their program in the Middle East. Gaddafi is caught in the middle. Actually, he's fairly popular in his own country. I see him running around in his Mercedes, up through the roof with no guards around him, and waving to everybody, and they're all jumping up and down and waving. But they got to go after it. They want the bank. They want the gold. They want the aquifers and the oil. They want Libya and AFRICOM and so on. And
they want Libya to be the base of AFRICOM. Webster Tarpley said that 2 years ago. In the Obama deception, because it's got the water, it's got one of the biggest gold reserves in the world, it's got everything they need, and now it's on.
Well, he's right. He does wonderful work. And yes, he has been out in front of a lot of other people, and I tip my hat, take my hat off to him. Thank you very much. We need more people like he. I think there's going to be more turmoil as we go along here, plus this all-out invasion. That's why the president has asked for 250 million, whatever it was, for more weapons to go into Libya, and they'll be sending troops in soon, I'm sure. That'll keep the pot boiling as well, so people won't be looking at the stock market and the bond market, the unemployment, and all those other things, and particularly the price of gold and silver. And for those of you who didn't get in on gold and silver already, boy, this is a great time to do it. I bought some more on yesterday, and I recommend that you do the same. The situation with gold is twofold. Number one, it is the only real money, and it's proved that in the last 2.5 years in its silent battle with the dollar. And now it's being also fed by another rocket, which is higher inflation, which Wall Street and others is finally catching on to. So it's got a double rocket going for it. Probably go to 1600, 1650 here, back and fill for 75, 100 bucks. And then go to 2,000 before the year's out, and maybe very soon. Silver, a totally different situation. Yes, being driven by the possibilities of higher inflation, but also we have that giant naked short position. And, you know, people are talking about $50 being a barrier. I've been in the markets for over 50 years, and I know that when you look back historically, it's something that's this old, that is the top on silver. You know, usually there's resistance at a level because people want to get out. But that's not true in this case. And you know why? The average investor is 55 years old. 40 years onto 55 is 95. There are no sellers up there. They're all dead. Just think about that. So you hear all this falderal about this happening and that happening. Is it going to happen? What is going to happen is that JPM and HSBC are going to have to make a decision. When do we call this game? And I think it'll be between $55 and $60 an ounce of silver, which is only $10 to $15 away. And they get three choices. Partial default. In other words, holders of contracts, we can't deliver silver, we'll give you 30 or 50 cents on the dollar. Number two, total default, just walking away from it, possible. Number three, the Federal Reserve steps in and covers them. and pays the people off with cash.
That's what I think.
Don't have any silver either.
That's what I think is going to happen. But Bob, a lot of listeners out there don't understand markets or don't have a great understanding of it. In layman's terms, there is a record short on silver in the next month, but it's institutional investors, the Wall Street Journal reports, and that record short is dwarfed by a record call. And correct me if I'm wrong, that illustrates that the smart money's on it only going up.
That's right. They're taking delivery in the next month. That would be May, and gold would be June. And so June's always a big month, as is May, for delivery. So we'll see how many take delivery. But apart from that, that's okay, and that's good for the upside. But the real twist here is, what are they going to do? And I think the American people will go ballistic if the Fed bails out JPM and HSBC. Why? The number is this. At $46 an ounce, it closed higher than that on Friday in the May month, which is the real active month. It closes 46.69 up 222. The debt there is about $90 billion. It's 55 to 60 bucks. It's around 130 to 140 billion. That's what the Fed will be on the hook for. And so it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. And even if the Fed takes them off the hook, doesn't make any difference, because it's going to reflect very badly on those paper contracts.
All right, let me ask you this question, though. Again, in layman's terms for folks out there, Max Keiser, big stockbroker in his own right, pushing this whole silver run and predicting it here 6 months ago or more and pushing it since. He's saying if it goes to 47, they're doomed and that they will default. And I've tried to get the technicals on that from him, but why do you think
he could be right? Well, we just don't know. The point is this: what's going to happen after a default or a payoff? And that is the paper markets, such as the futures, the gold and silver options, the derivatives, and those holding them, are going to be in serious trouble. And SLD and GLV, the two exchange-traded funds, we don't know how much gold and silver they have, but we do know they have copious amounts of those contracts.
What can the globalists do? How will the empire strike back? How are they going to try to drive it down ahead of their shorts?
Can't do it. Nobody will sell. It's incredible. Go try to find physical silver. It just isn't happening. Ask Chet Anderson how easy it is to get.
So you're saying there's no way, you're saying already there's no way out, that there's going to be some type of chicanery.
Well, there's going to be some kind of confrontation, and it's going to ruin the paper markets, is what I was getting at. Whether they'll stay in business or not remains to be seen. And that's because the people really want to do business on exchanges that don't pay off. That's ridiculous. And so that means the physical market will become king, and that's what we'll all be.
That's right. They've been using the paper market to suppress the physical. So you're talking about the lid being blown off, the volcano erupting, Bob.
That's right. And what'll happen? And let's say they capitulate at $58 on silver, and they say, we're going to pay you cash, and we're going to have the Fed pay.
Tell us what happens after the break. Bob Chapman's our guest. I'm Alex Jones. Okay, Bob, you were getting to how you see this shaking out. You've got the floor. Break down this surge in metals and what it signifies, exposing the paper fraudulent markets.
Well, it's going to do that, that's for sure. And when it does happen, there's going to be a lot of disgruntled people. And even if they're getting paid cash, because they don't want to let go of their silver positions, and it's going to spread to gold as well. And they'll both take off. There'll be another leap forward. Where would it leap from? With silver, maybe 55 to 75 or 80. With gold, maybe from 1650 up to 2000. We don't know, but we should get a blast from it.
What are the different scenarios?
Well, the three scenarios is the three I just laid out. But gold and silver are going to continue to go higher. This is only one episode. This is one battle that we won because they did something stupid in their greed and their arrogance. They should have never happened. They should have been offloading that Bear Stearns position, which they originally got when Bear Stearns went under, which was short. And, Bear was doing that for the U.S. government. It's just like the U.S. government is semi-controlling these hedge funds offshore. And they're going long and they're going short. And nobody knows what they're doing except the government, because the government's commissioning them to manipulate the market.
And by the way, you said that decades ago. They've recently admitted that they're coordinating with the hedge funds and the big brokerage firms and the big mega banks in this whole manipulation. The plunge protection team is only one layer or facet. Now, what does it signify with this S&P announcement that they don't have a good outlook for the dollar keeping its AAA rating?
S&P's known that since the beginning of September of 1971, after, on August the 15th, 1971, Richard Nixon took the dollar off the gold standard. From then, it's been a fiat currency. And from then on, it's been a disaster, as we all know. And S&P is an integral part of the criminal organization that runs our country. And they, through extortion, make companies pay for reports that they don't want on their own companies.
By the way, the Greek prime minister is basically saying the same thing about rating agencies in AP today, but here's the issue. We now know the White House tried to twist their arm not to issue this. Did they issue it so they would keep any of the credibility they have?
Maybe. And I don't believe the story about the White House. I believe that this is a setup. I was going to get to that, but I had to give you the background because of criminals. And the background you have now. The next step, why they did what they did, they want to get legislation passed to cut back on Social Security and Medicare. And so they're saying you have to clean up your act by cutting back on all these deficits. And what has Ryan and the Democrats as well been saying about cutting back? Well, it's got to be Social Security and Medicare, and that's what we paid into. And so that's what they're going to go after, and that's what S&P was up to.
You know, I thought that myself, that they don't want to go after the banksters and the trillions in derivatives and the debt black hole. They want to scapegoat Social Security and things. And basically, this is the austerity as more and more of the GDP and our taxes go to the banksters.
26% of that budget goes for the military. That's the highest number. And then you have Social Security and Medicare, which I think are 25 and 24 or something like that. The point is, they don't want to cut the military. They want to keep on killing people. And they want to keep on trying to control people, and they do that by shooting at them. And I'll tell you, the people in the military are not very happy about it, the professionals in particular, because I talk to them all the time. And so there's a continued awareness and a growing disgruntlement in the military at all levels, but particularly among the officers and the non-coms, who are professional people.
Well, Bob, that's the point I made earlier.
I was there.
That's the point I was making earlier in closing, is I'm finally hearing all the neocon hosts admit the Federal Reserve is evil and the head of the New World Order and engineering this. I mean, they're really starting to wake up, because I think they realize they're being targeted.
That's right. And all I have to do is go back and read the history of totalitarian regimes such as in Germany and Russia, and they will find that the little helpers like those guys out there who are competing with us and losing, incidentally, they're going to be the first ones to go.
Folks, if you want a copy of the International Forecaster, a trial copy, it's excellent. 800-686-2237. Bob Chapman, we'll see you for a full hour coming up next week. God bless. We'll talk to you then.
Same to you. Bye-bye.
Former governor of New Mexico, presidential candidate Gary Johnson, straight ahead. Stay with us.
Darkest Gold Dutch treat, you were sweet. Donka Shane, darling, Donka Shane.
Well, Gary Johnson is a Republican and serves as the honorary chairman of the Our America Initiative. He's been an outspoken advocate for effective government, lower taxes, winning the war on drug abuse by decriminalization, protecting our civil liberties, revitalization of the economy, and prompting entrepreneurship and privatization. In 94, he was elected popularly as the governor of New Mexico, reelected in 98. He couldn't run for a third time because of term limits. OurAmericanInitiative.com is his website. And he was traveling around the country 3 or 4 months ago. We had him in studio here. And he's got a book out, of course, or this new initiative out. And I pointed out that that looked like he was thinking about running for president. And he said, well, we're testing the waters. And so I'm going from memory. He may not have a book out. I'm going from 3 or 4 months ago when he was in studio with us. The point is, he announced yesterday that he is running for president. And he thinks he can focus on New Hampshire with his libertarian / conservative ideas, in many respects similar to Ron Paul, except for the abortion issue. And so he joins us now to talk about a host of issues. Governor, great to have you back with us.
Alex, it's great to be on, and the new website would be Gary Johnson 2012, in that I am engaged right now in the contest of running for president of the United States. I'm out here trying to get Republicans to check me off as their spokesperson.
Well, there's only one other guy out there who I think's got a better record than you overall, and that's Ron Paul, obviously. But at the same time, he is 75 years old. By him getting ready to announce soon, regardless, he's going to educate a lot of people and kind of get Rand positioned for the future, who's also really proving himself to be a constitutionalist and libertarian in the U.S. Senate. But, Gary, I really support almost all of your positions and think you are one of the best candidates, light years ahead of Trump, Mitt Romney, all these other insiders. But let me get the my one contentious bone out of the way with you. You are overall a states' rights guy, but you are for a woman's, quote, right to choose, at least in the first trimester. That's, better than, being for partial birth abortion and things like that. But, instead of the media framing it for you, where do you stand on abortion?
I support a woman's right to choose up until viability of the fetus. As governor of New Mexico, I would have signed a bill banning late-term abortion. I've always favored parental notification. I've always favored counseling. And I've always favored the notion of no public funds used for abortion.
And I guess that is a libertarian view. But what about Ron Paul's argument that it should be a state rights issue? But then he goes on to say, as a libertarian, what about the baby's rights? I mean, sure, the mother has rights, but what about the baby?
Well, I would agree that that it should be a state rights issue, and I also recognize that this is an issue that we may just have to agree to disagree on. Meaning, I do support a woman's right to choose.
Now, GaryJohnson2012.com, and we appreciate you joining us so early into your announcement. What you announced yesterday morning?
Yes. Announced here in New Hampshire, I think that, first of all, New Hampshire is really key for me, that you can go from obscurity to national prominence based on doing well in New Hampshire, and New Hampshire is a great place. I mean, New Hampshire, the people in New Hampshire, I think, recognize that they get to vet all the candidates, and that they're going to do that they're going to go out of their way to meet all the candidates, and so it's retail politics at its best. It's cussing, disgusting at every juncture, and that's a good thing. And as a result of doing well in New Hampshire, getting vetted by the voters in New Hampshire, New Hampshire really sets the stage for the rest of the country.
Governor, let's shift gears into the areas where I really agree with you. You were on 3 or 4 months ago here, and you talked about We're going to go bankrupt. It's a mathematical certainty. The budget is way too big. We've got the banker bailouts, the derivatives. Under this fractional reserve banking system, at the end of the Ponzi scheme, it's mathematically impossible for a new dollar to be created. A dollar of debt is created. And we have the Federal Reserve head in Kansas, in Dallas, saying we've got to cut the budget. We've got to cut spending, military, welfare, across the board. Banker bailouts have got to end, or we're going to go bankrupt. And Geithner comes out Friday and then Sunday and then Tuesday of this week saying, if we don't raise the debt limit, if we don't increase spending, if we don't raise taxes, then we're going to default. But aren't we already technically defaulting with 70-plus percent monetization by the Federal Reserve? You know, as an economic guy, break down for us your concern about this or your view on this S&P saying they have a negative outlook towards the dollar and U.S. Treasuries keeping their AAA rating.
Well, you said it. I mean, it couldn't be said any better. We're buying up our own treasuries. So what we've done is we've delayed the economic collapse that is in the offing. If we weren't buying up our own treasury debt, I think that we would see that happen tomorrow. I'm an optimist, and I think this country is a country of optimists. The only way that we address this, and that isn't to say that we still won't have an economic collapse, because in essence, we can't pay back $14 trillion in debt when our ongoing yearly deficit is $1.6 trillion. In the face of that, we're not going to be able to pay back $14 trillion. The only way that we potentially take on what is going to happen is to balance the federal budget tomorrow. And I'm optimistic that we can do that. We can do this. We can fix this. We went to the moon. We can fix the federal, but we can balance revenues with expenditures. But it has to be now. It can't be a 10-year plan that gets us a quarter of the way there. It needs to be now, and it needs to include a dialogue of Medicaid, Medicare, reforming Social Security, and defense.
But as Rand Paul has said, I think you just echoed, if you don't cut it across the board, and if you don't get rid of these new banker bailouts and QE3 that they're now starting to push, no amount of welfare state being cut back is going to fix this.
Well, I think that the federal government could cut Medicaid and Medicare by 43%, that they could block grants of states a fixed amount of money, 43% less than what we're currently spending, and leave health care delivery to the poor and those over 65 to the state. 50 laboratories of innovation, 50 laboratories of best practices, in which best practices would genuinely emerge, best practices would get emulated. There'd be failure. Failure would get avoided. This is what we need to do when it comes to Medicaid and Medicare. And there are also other suggestions, health savings accounts, if you're talking about somebody just starting out in the workplace. There are all sorts of reforms.
Well, exactly. As they throw more money, as they throw more money at it, that's supply and demand, the price only goes up because the government is artificially doing that. Before we had any government involvement, we had the best health care in the world 50, 60 years ago, and now it's all being phased out. And you're right, just like with the schools systems in the country, I've seen numbers in some schools where half of the money is bureaucracy. It's the same thing with the federal bureaucracy that they've just tried to add more to with the Obamacare. That's what I'm for cutting, is if you get rid of the Department of Health and Human Services, get rid of the Department of Education. I mean, that's the kind of cutting I want. So what would you do as president? Would you move against all those federal bureaucracies and just completely abolish them?
Well, back to cutting Medicaid and Medicare by 43%. And giving it back to the states, that does it. That in essence may in fact dry up all of the function of those agencies. When it comes to education, we should be abolishing the Federal Department of Education from the standpoint that federal government gives the states 11 cents out of every dollar that the state spends, but comes with 16 cents worth of strings attached. So we need to understand that it's really a negative to take federal money when it comes to education. Give it back to the states. Give it all back to the states.
Yeah, it's our money that was taken to begin with. It's our money that was taken to begin with. Then they send bureaucratic strings back federally, trying to not let parents pack their lunches. That's federal bureaucracy. Banning dodgeball, softball. I mean, Governor, why do you think all over the country, the nanny state, I mean, my view is that it's being done to set the precedent that to wipe our noses, we've got to get federal permission. What's your view of the feds moving all over the country to lobby states to ban summer camps because they're too dangerous?
Well, yeah, you know, I'm trying to keep up with you, Alex. You're just one step ahead of me. Don't quite let me finish the last point. But
I'm sorry. Go back to your last point, then. Go back to your last point.
No. Well, just with the health care. You know, what you're talking about is arguably 60%, and I'm agreeing with you here, but you're talking about health care costs that are arguably 60% bureaucratic. The government could be engaged in a systematic process of getting rid of regulation and impediment for healthcare entrepreneurs that would want to enter into the healthcare space to deliver better products, better services at lower prices. Free market approach to healthcare. And by the way, healthcare is about as far removed from free market as it possibly can be. And then you move on and talk about schools and the fact that the federal government is dictating X, Y, and Z to Manchester, New Hampshire. Shouldn't Manchester, New Hampshire decide how it is they want to conduct schools for their kids? And for that matter, all across the country, one size fits all doesn't fit, and one size fits all has us bankrupt as a country. The federal government needs to get out of our lives. The unintended consequence of government and regulation and legislation that ends up just burdening us and adding cost to our daily lives, as opposed to this notion of liberty and freedom and the personal responsibility that goes along with that.
Sure, absolutely. Former New Mexico Governor Gary E. Johnson, GaryJohnson2012.com, running for president up there focused in New Hampshire. Shifting gears to geopolitical matters, not just with defense spending, but that first, how much would you cut it by, or give us a ballpark? And what would you do about all these new conflicts? I mean, if you were president right now and the UN said, like they did a month ago to Obama, attack Libya, what would President Johnson do?
Well, right now, as you have to do every day, you've got an opinion on everything. I have to have an opinion on everything right now, and I appreciate the arena that I'm in. So when it comes to Libya, you know what? I'm opposed to Libya, and this would have been a day after Libya happened. I'm opposed to what we're doing A through Z. Where is the congressional authorization to go into Libya? Where is it in the Constitution that says that because you don't like a foreign leader, you should go in and topple that foreign leader? Who are the rebels? Are we not in a civil war here? And don't five other countries right now in the Middle East qualify for the same military intervention that we have unleashed in Libya? And under the umbrella of a no-fly zone. Didn't Saddam Hussein exist for 12 years under the umbrella of a no-fly zone? And under the umbrella of a no-fly zone, did not the atrocities in Bosnia occur? The unintended consequences of government. We take out Saddam Hussein, he's the check against Iran. Iran now raises its head. It's not a military threat to the United States. But we should remain vigilant to that military threat. So we need to stop nation building across the world. We need to reconcentrate our military on being able to react to us being attacked or the notion of imminent danger, which Afghanistan, I would argue, at the beginning was totally warranted. We were attacked. We attacked back. That's what our military was for. We are at war with Osama bin Laden, al-Qaeda. We should remain vigilant to the terrorist threat. But after 6 months of being in Afghanistan, we'd wiped out al-Qaeda. They weren't there anymore. Here we are. We're there 10 years later, building roads, schools, bridges, highways, and hospitals. Men and women are dying, and we're borrowing 43 cents out of every dollar to do this. Stop. Get out of Iraq and Afghanistan tomorrow. and I would have been opposed to Iraq from the very start, believing that there was never a national threat to our security, and that if there was, we had the military surveillance capability to see that happen, and that we could have gone in and addressed that situation if it would have occurred. And there was no threat, no threat at all from Libya to our national security. There weren't any weapons being raised, and if there were, how come we didn't hear about that 2 months ago? We weren't hearing a thing about it.
Well, they also lied to us and said they wouldn't put ground troops in, and they've had advisors there and now are publicly talking about invading. And Gates last night, the Secretary of Defense, said this is not mission creep. So that's like saying a green tree is on a green tree. It's just incredible. Governor Johnson, you're backing up from all of this and looking at the big picture, are you concerned? I mean, is that why you're running, looking at some of the other candidates? Because, you know, hearing you on military issues of Al-Qaeda, I guess you concur with Ron Paul. Why are we being attacked if you buy into the whole official fable, as the mainstream media and folks do? Then we're being attacked because we have all these empires everywhere. We don't see Switzerland because they're non-interventionist being attacked. But certainly nobody who's got a large military is going to attack us because we've got all these nukes and weapons. What about the issue of the fact that they continue to use the threat of Al-Qaeda as a pretext to take the American people's liberties, i.e. the TSA sticking their hands down people's pants?
Well, and I would have never established the TSA, never. I would have left airport security to the airlines, and I dare say today that we would be as safe and it would be less intrusive. And I would have never established the Department of Homeland Security. State would have done just fine doing that. And as governor of New Mexico, with all of the resources that came in for a homeland security in the state, a homeland security department in the state of New Mexico, I just gave that title to my secretary of public safety, and really no resources got added to what it was that we were doing. And I spent all my time trying to fend off what would have been intrusions against the civil liberties of New Mexicans, as opposed to going out and spreading the fear and the really fear more than anything, just spreading the notion of fear and that government is the only one to protect, and that doing some of the things that were proposed right after 9/11, in my opinion, would have just been unbelievably cumbersome, would have taken away liberties and freedoms, would have altered traffic with no justification whatsoever to have done any of that.
If elected president, we've got Senator Al Franken saying he wants to have an investigation of Apple, Google phones. They're all involved in these phones tracking your location, and then when you sync them with a computer, transmitting it on to the telecom. But Al Franken ought to investigate Congress, Governor, because I remember in 96 covering the fact that they ordered the phone companies and cell phone manufacturers by October 1st, 2001 to have all these systems built in with back doors. So Congress is freaking out over this. They passed a law ordering this infrastructure to be put in. What would you do with all of the warrantless spying and tracking and internet kill switches? And Obama wants an internet ID now, where you get a government-issued ID working with private corporations. Basically, the White House holds your passcodes, and they admit the IRS will basically look over your computer. You think that's a good idea?
Well, no. Just right off the top of my head, no, that's not a good idea. And I get back to my resume. You know, you'd asked me earlier, too, why are you doing this? Well, I'm doing this because I really think that I can make a difference. I really think that I can do a good job here. And as governor of New Mexico, I really enjoyed the job. I really enjoyed immersing myself in these issues, trying to understand these issues, and then trying to make the best decision possible regarding public policy and how it actually related to everyday living. And in that context, you know, I vetoed probably as many, and I say probably because I might be embellishing here a bit, but I don't think it's by much. I think I vetoed more legislation than all the other governors in the country combined. And so I really took a stand against bigger government and government intrusion, just like what you're talking about, and the unintended consequences of government. Government and losers. And as a result of picking winners and losers, I think we as regular old folks, taxpayers, we end up all taking it on the chin. Government should be in the business of providing a level playing field that all of us have access to this American dream, that if we're willing to work hard, innovate, that we're going to be successful in this country, as opposed to being held back or restricted or whatever it is from having the freedom, having the liberty to do what it is that innately we know best for our own lives. The whole intrusion of government into surveillance, all these things that you're talking about. As governor of New Mexico, I looked at these kinds of things, and whenever I felt that those threats were present, and by threats, I mean threats to civil liberties, I'd like to think I stood up and I always did the right thing, and that's why I'm engaged in this.
Cost-benefit analysis. Well, just to be clear here, that's why I do respect you, even though I disagree with you on several issues, is you actually did do what you campaigned for once you got into office, and a lot of libertarians and others admire you for that, because just knowing that somebody is going to do what they say they're going to do, that's one of the main reasons I admire Ron Paul so much, is that that is a quality that we are severely lacking in Congress, in the White House, in government, in state governments, is people that A, do what they say they're going to do, but also B, understand that if we don't have liberty and freedom, then we're not America. This country isn't special. We could be North Korea. We could be Mexico. It's the liberty that is the engine of all of this prosperity, and that's why I wish you a lot of luck. In the 2 or 3 minutes we've got left here, I just want to give the website out, GaryJohnson2012.com. In closing, if you were on national TV, which you are every day multiple times, and you had 2 minutes to lay it out for people about the direction of America and what Gary Johnson stands for, you've got the floor.
Well, we need to save this country tomorrow. We are on the verge of a financial collapse. We cannot pay back $14 trillion in debt when we're racking up $1.6 trillion in new debt this year and in the foreseeable future. It's not going to happen. We landed on the moon. We can balance the budget. We can do this. This is not difficult, but we've got to engage in it. We're engaged in the opposite. And what is this country about? What did we fight World War II over? Did we fight World War II over Medicaid and Medicare? No. We fought it over our ability to have freedom, to be at liberty, to make our own decisions that don't impact others in any way whatsoever negatively. This is a country of liberty and freedom, and it also is the personal responsibility that goes along with that, something that we move further and further away from as opposed to embracing.
Former Governor of New Mexico, Gary Johnson, thank you for spending time. In closing, look, the Federal Reserve, the people running it, have a stake in us going bankrupt because they basically loan us the fiat currency and credit back. And saying that we're going to default if we don't spend more money, when even S&P says we're going to default because we're spending too much money, they're steering us right towards the rocks. Would you move to break up the private run-for-profit Federal Reserve? I mean, even Newt Gingrich is now saying that.
Well, I would abolish the Federal Reserve if Congress passed that legislation, but they're not going to pass that legislation. And I realize some right now would advocate abolishing the Federal Reserve tomorrow, which would precipitate, which would bring about a collapse, which many argue would be healthy. I'm going to take the side here that we could actually forestall and eliminate the collapse by balancing the federal budget, and in that context, then being a debate and a discussion before Congress to actually rid ourselves of the Federal Reserve, to return these functions of the Federal Reserve to a competitive regional banking system.
and to the Congress, because there's no doubt we're going on the rocks here. Governor, look forward to speaking to you again in the near future. Good luck with your campaign there in New Hampshire.
Alex, thank you for having me on.
All right, great having you. All right, there goes former governor of New Mexico, Gary Johnson. We'll be back Sunday live, 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Everybody have a blessed and wonderful Easter. I don't care if Hollywood says we shouldn't call it Easter. And can't call it Easter eggs. You got to call them Easter spheres. But that's all Ishtar anyways. Back Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Great job, crew. Big Bilderberg Group coming up in the retransmission. Infowars.com.